How do you do? For many years, the man in this story thought his purpose in life was to have his own way, and that self-centered attitude led to heartache for himself and others. And then he met someone who showed him his real purpose for living, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hello?
Mrs. Brown?
Yes?
I'm calling about your son, Robert.
Well, what's he done now, Mr. Ross?
Well, he's a very troublesome boy, Mrs. Brown. Bad enough he cuts class and changes the grades on his report card, but today was the last straw. He used some very foul words in class, directed at the teacher. Among other things, he called her a Nazi. We can't have that, Mrs. Brown. I've expelled him.
From the crossroads of life and the heart of God, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. With more homeless people these days, at Pacific Garden Mission, hundreds of men, women, and children find shelter each day. Because of friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission provides nourishing meals, showers, and fresh clothing, and a clean, safe bunk for the night. Everything is free to those without means, even medical and dental care in the mission clinic. Giving replaces taking at the mission. Instead of blaming others and society, each person learns to examine his own life and see what needs to change. Pastors and counselors help with that, offering insight and prayer to open the eyes of their understanding. Many find new life, the goal of the old lighthouse. And that hope of new life goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3052 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What are we going to do with him, Lewis? He's out of control.
Beats me. Maybe we should beat him.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Bobby, what got into you?
Hey, you'd have done the same thing. That teacher is a Nazi. You can tell by your accent.
Sonny boy, just the facts.
I gave my speech in Spanish per the assignment, and she stood there and said it was such poor quality, I flunked, okay? Right in front of the class.
Well, she shouldn't have done that.
You've got to learn to control your mouth, Bobby. You're much too arrogant.
Well, maybe we should send him to that school that Jeff goes to.
The one for delinquent boys? Why not? We tried everything else. He ought to fit right in.
The man in this story was adopted at birth and grew up as the only child of Ashkenazi Jews in Chicago. This is how he found his real identity. It's the true testimony of Robert Brown, right now on Unshackled.
Dad owned a company that sold everything from twine to wrapping paper. He yelled and swore a lot, so I learned from him. Mom was a housewife, gentle and easygoing. When I was 10, she told me I was adopted. She and I were close, but I was never punished for lying. I wanted my own way, and as a teenager, I earned the name sociopath because I didn't care about consequences. After I was booted out of school in my junior year, they sent me to a school for delinquent, mostly Jewish kids. Dad was right. I fit right in.
Bobby, where did you get those pants? I didn't buy those.
I don't know. I've had them a while.
But where did you get them? I bought you blue jeans.
All the other kids wear pants, Mom. I was the only one wearing jeans. I got all that money for my bar mitzvah, so I used some of it.
But that money is in a trust account at the bank. How did you get it?
I slipped the bank signature card in with those school papers you signed.
Oh. Well, if you need better clothes, just say so. I'll get you some nice shirts, too.
I graduated in 1961 and lacked the discipline to stay in college. For a year, I had no car and no motivation. My only talent was dancing. I was overweight and argumentative. I took and passed a test for the Air Force, but didn't follow through. When I was 20, I worked for several weeks as a waiter at a resort in Wisconsin. Then I got homesick and came home. I was dating a Jewish girl, taking the bus to her house. We decided to get married in 1963.
Well, you're awfully young to get married, Bobby.
I'm 20 years old already.
You don't even have a car.
Well, you could help me buy one, Dad.
Well, cosign for you. Get a job first, sonny boy. A real one.
I will. My girlfriend already bought the invitations.
Bobby, you're too immature to get married.
He was right again, but we married in February 1963. We fought a lot that mooched off our parents. Her parents, like mine, rarely went to synagogue. Being Jewish was more an identity than a religion. I bounced from one job to another. Bill collector, laundry route driver, delivery man, and then salesman. I liked being a salesman because of the freedom. That summer, I heard about a fire at a paper company on Fulton Street and wondered if it was Dad's place, so I rushed there.
Ah, look what they done to what I built, Bobby.
You think it was deliberate, Dad?
Ah, of course it was deliberate, the jerks. They wanted the insurance money. Never should have sold my business to them.
Well, can you prove it was set?
All the papers are in the safe. You think it'll survive a blaze like that?
The safe fell through to the basement that was flooded, so fortunately all the papers were intact, proving Dad's suspicions. The men who bought his company didn't collect any insurance. He stayed on to take care of his old customers, working out of the house, and I took care of his books. Our first son was born that year. Our second and third sons were born 4 and 5 years later.
How's that new business doing, Bobby?
Bill collecting is always steady, Dad. Mm. There's plenty of deadbeats around.
Okay, you should know.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you got the numbers for me?
Yeah, right here. Listen, can you pay me now?
Yeah. You and your wife going to High Holy Services?
Maybe. Now that we have a family, I guess it's time to start thinking about those things. But about that time in 1970, all I thought about was smoking marijuana. As a bill collector, mine was a fiduciary duty. But I used the money to buy pot that I sold to friends for a profit. That year, Mom had a heart attack. And one day, I went to see her at the hospital.
Hello, Bobby. How's the family?
Oh, they're okay, Mom, but I'm worried about you.
Don't be. I'll be all right.
Well, I hope so. You're my best friend. I can talk to you, but I can't talk to anyone else.
That's sweet of you, son.
Hey, remember how you took me to camp when I was 9?
Yeah, and you cried so much. We took you home when we visited.
Yeah, well, I'll be taking our boys to camp one of these days.
Oh, that'll be good for them.
They're not allowed to visit you. They're too young.
I'll be coming home soon.
But that night she had a massive heart attack and died. I was devastated. Dad asked me to call everyone and tell him about her passing, which took several days. Her death affected me so badly that it damaged my relationship with my wife. Our marriage was on the skids. I smoked more pot and took a job downtown that made it easy for me to work late when I was actually at a tavern crying in my beer.
Hey, Robert, how's by you?
Hanging in there, barely.
Yeah, you can do better than that.
I don't see how. My job is being phased out, and my dad remarried a flashy woman completely unlike my mother. I gave her all of Mom's things, never even asked me.
Bummer. How's the collection business?
Like I said, going away. Larry's closing the business.
I got an offer for you.
Oh, yeah?
I know some people that are looking for a collector type. Mm. They want to build an insurance agency. They have connections with banks, car dealers, you name it.
In 1972, I went to work for this new agency that turned out to be pseudo-mafia. They acted like gangsters. I even carried a gun and heard some evil things about them during the 3 years of my employment. I was careful not to discuss what I heard with anyone. 3 years later, the IRS closed the doors and we were all unemployed.
You want me to loan you $7,500? Whoa, it's a lot of money.
Ray's dad is going to loan him the same amount. We're going to open an insurance agency together.
You got no collateral.
Our experience is our collateral, Dad. And we can write all kinds of insurance now. Contractors' bonds, industrial liability, casualty, malpractice.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Give me a break, Dad. I'll pay you back.
Yeah. Okay. I'll guarantee the money at the bank. But I want a contract in writing, and I want to see you follow through for a change.
I was the salesman for the new agency, and we did a lot of business in a short time. But we mismanaged everything, spending money like water on imported wool suits, expensive cars, and trips to the Virgin Islands. We also smoked a lot of marijuana and then cocaine. And within 4 years, we were bankrupt.
I heard about the business, Bob.
Yeah? Belly up.
Too bad.
Well, the wife and I are already having problems. This won't help.
That's rough.
Yeah, especially for my sons.
Listen, you got any plans for the weekend?
No, why?
Go to the gun show with me.
You collect guns?
Some. Mostly I collect Japanese swords. You can make a lot of money when you find a sleeper.
What's a sleeper?
A sword that somebody has but doesn't know the real value of. You can make a bundle.
Well, I don't see how I'd fit in. I mean, I wouldn't know a Japanese sword from the man in the moon.
You can learn. You're a good salesman. And you can unload the car and set up while I look for a sleeper.
We traveled to gun shows nearly every weekend, high most of the time, further eroding my marriage. My wife and I divorced in 1980, and I continued to borrow money from Dad until he cut me off. Then my friend and I began to fight, so we severed the partnership. I took a job as traveling salesman, able to browse the gun shows on weekends. But I was so lonely and morose, a man with no future.
Shortly, we'll hear how all of that changed.
Unshackled is translated and broadcast in Arabic throughout the Middle East. Here are quotes of letters from listeners there. From Lebanon, this man writes, "I was born Muslim, but Unshackled opened my mind to read the Bible, and Christ opened my eyes to see that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Life is hard now, but I wouldn't trade following Jesus with any other life I could have." This Syrian woman writes, "I live Unshackled life because I accepted Jesus Christ through your ministry." And this Egyptian woman writes, "When I was very desperate to overcome my situation or commit suicide, Christ reached me through your Unshackled program. There is a Savior who is able to give me rest and victory over my problems and hope in spite of the hopeless situation I'm in." To learn more about this ministry or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address. I remembered our rabbi saying there's a little piece of God in everyone. So one November night, while driving to Bloomington, Indiana, I spoke to God saying, "I'm very lonely. Can you bring a lady into my life?" 2 days later, near Bass Lake, I saw a sign that said cottages for rent. So I knocked on the door of the house.
Yes?
Yeah, I saw your sign and wanted to ask about the cottages for rent.
Can't you see the sign is pointing across the street?
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that. Sorry to bother you.
Well, the owners are in Florida anyway. Come in, I'll give you their address and phone number.
Her name was Delilah, and she worked in law enforcement. I admired the view of the lake from her window, and we chatted. At first, pretending everything was fine. Then we went for a walk down by the lake, and, well, soon we were pouring our hearts out to each other.
We have a lot in common, Robert. I'm divorced with 3 kids, too. A son and 2 daughters.
I never thought I'd be divorced. But hey, here I am. And with this job, I'm gone so much I hardly ever see my sons. I'm behind in child support, and I guess because of my stupid mistakes that I've made, I just don't know what to do.
We all make mistakes, Robert.
Not like me, Delilah. I've had one opportunity after another to succeed, and I blew every one of them.
You just haven't found your real purpose yet.
Think so?
God created us for a purpose.
I wish I knew what mine was.
I still flounder too, but I know he has a purpose for me.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just too far gone now.
No, you're not. You have to learn to follow his lead, Robert.
Well, how do you know what that is?
Read the Bible.
I spent several days with her sleeping on the couch, then I drove back to Chicago. But thoughts of Delilah filled my mind, and somehow I felt that God had answered my prayer. He had really heard me. I was amazed. Halfway into the week, I called Delilah, and we agreed to see each other the coming weekend. That Sunday, she invited me to church. But I hid behind my Judaism, wanting to watch football. Seeing her displeasure, the next Sunday, I went with her and didn't miss a service after that.
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Amen.
Did you get that? The promise by faith of Jesus Christ. Even the faith to believe in Jesus comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Once you are convicted of your sin and your need of a Savior, God gives you the faith to believe. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
On New Year's Eve, we watched a film at the church about Jesus going to the cross in place of Barabbas. Afterward, the pastor said, "Well, you know who you are out there. Jesus has been convicting you of your need for salvation. Jesus wants to save you right now. Come to him." I felt like I was pulled up front where I got on my knees, repented of my sins, and begged God to forgive me. Delilah joined me there, and we stayed up late that night talking.
Do you understand what happened tonight, Robert?
Not entirely, but I feel great. I mean, that terrible sense of guilt is gone.
You have the Spirit of God in you now. He takes our guilt and shame when we put our trust in Jesus.
Why did you go up there? I mean, I thought you were already a Christian.
I recommitted my life to Christ.
Cool.
Robert, you use profanity so often. Now that you're saved, you shouldn't do that.
You know, I've been swearing all my life, Delilah. I don't see how I can stop now.
If you confess this sin to the Lord and make a commitment to stop, he'll take care of the rest.
My swearing did diminish and finally stopped. We planned to get married in February, 3 months after we met. Then we moved to Indianapolis. Delilah's children stayed behind to finish the school year with their grandparents. Who could that be? Nobody knows we're here.
I gave our address to my old neighbor in case of emergency.
Well, if it isn't Bob Brown. As an old bill collector, you should have known I could trace you. Is this your new wife?
I'm Delilah. Who are you?
An old business partner of Bob's. And this is Sammy, my backup.
Delilah, why don't you take the dog for a walk?
Good idea. We have business to discuss, don't we, Bob?
I think I should stay right here, honey.
Please, go.
You owe me $1,000, dirtbag. Pay up.
Look, buddy, I don't have it right now, okay? I'm broke.
Don't give me that. If you don't pay me the money you owe, we're gonna make your face unrecognizable. Understand?
Okay. Look, will you take some valuables?
Like what?
Well, that Japanese woodblock print on the wall. I had it framed.
Yeah, it's genuine. I'll give you $350 for it.
How much for this gold star of David?
Heavy enough, $200.
We're halfway then, okay? Now look, I got this Japanese sword being sharpened, and it's at a friend's house in Waukegan.
Describe it.
When they were satisfied, they brought out a bag of marijuana. By that time, Delilah was back, and I smoked with them. Then God opened my eyes to see what I had walked into, a trap. I was naive about spiritual battle, and I sure lost this one. I went into the bathroom, grabbed my Bible, and fell on my knees, asking God to get them out of our apartment and out of our lives. I opened the Bible and the page fell to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I decided to tell them what God says in the Bible. Hey, listen to this, guys. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect.
Knock it off. Are you crazy, Bob?
This is God's word.
You come back to Chicago with us. We'll straighten you out.
No. God wants us right here.
He's right. God wants us here.
Yeah, come on, Sammy. Bob's out of his mind. We're out of here.
Thank God they're gone.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh. Look, they left their bag of marijuana.
I hope they don't remember it and come back.
Well, why don't you and I get out of here?
Yeah, let's go tonight.
We drove to Bloomington and found a motel. There I got on my knees in the bathroom and cried out to God, saying, "Now you've got me where you want me. Do with me as you see fit."
It's good that you made at least a partial payment on that debt.
Yep, sure is.
Why are you stopping, Robert?
We have to get rid of the marijuana, Delilah.
Really?
Look, this is just another battle, but I'm not gonna lose this one.
You're right. We should get rid of the pot.
Help me search the car and find every last bit of that stuff. I've been smoking it for years, so I stashed it everywhere, in the trunk, in the glove box, everywhere. We cleaned the car thoroughly, and that was the end of the marijuana for me. Then I gave up my leased car, and we were free of that debt, too. I worked as a salesman for a chemical company for 15 years, and we moved often, growing in faith and in our love for each other. Always active in church, we were in Memphis in 1995, the first time I attended a messianic service.
How was it?
Fantastic! I sat there listening to Jewish music, Jewish prayers, and I heard the name of Yeshua. Oh, then a woman turned to me and said, "So, welcome home." And I started crying, Delilah. I spent most of the service in tears.
I'd like to go with you sometime, Robert.
Hey, we'll go tomorrow. These are the high holy days. Yom Kippur is coming. I'm back home.
Well, you were raised in a Jewish family.
Yeah, Mom told me my birth mother was an Ashkenazi Jew, a single girl who didn't want to bring shame to her family. I learned a lot about the Jewish roots of Christianity before we left Memphis for Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I learned even more by listening to tapes from a Messianic Jewish doctor. We moved to New Orleans, where I began having severe pain in my legs if I drove more than a few miles. I was diagnosed with polycythemia.
What does it mean, Robert?
Well, it's a very rare blood disease, peculiar to people from the Middle East, especially Ashkenazi Jews.
How do they treat it?
I drain a little blood now and then.
Seriously?
Yeah. The viscosity in my blood's very high. The only remedy is to drain some now and then.
Well, at least it's not fatal.
Yeah, but it will shorten my life. Every day counts, Delilah. I want to serve the Lord more than ever with all that I am. I studied the Bible, learned to read Hebrew, and taught Bible study. And God blessed me with a great job. Our income jumped, and we planned a trip to Israel. But to get a passport, I had to have my birth certificate. That's how I learned my birth mother's real name and began searching for her. We went to Israel before I found her, and there, in the place of my ancestors, I wept, as Jesus did, at the blindness of my people who rejected Him. When we came home again, I returned two calls left on my answering machine. They were from my two sisters.
Yes. I'm your other sister. Mom told us about you 15 years ago, but we didn't know how to find you.
Well, I didn't know how to find you either. My ex-wife happened to see Mother's name on a paper when she was helping Dad, my adopted father.
So you were raised Jewish?
Yeah. Is our mother still alive?
Oh, yes, but she has severe Alzheimer's. She's in a nursing home here in California.
Well, my wife and I will come visit soon. As we flew to California, I prayed that God would give her one lucid moment during our visit. We spent 3 days seeing my sisters and mother. She was non-responsive, but I told her who I was and assured her that I was doing well. Suddenly, she looked at me out of the corner of her eye and said, "You wouldn't kid me now, would you?" Well, she died in 2001, and I joined my sisters in Chicago for her burial, learning more about my family history. That year, Yeshua opened a radio spot on a Christian radio station in New Orleans where I speak about the Jewish roots of Christianity.
For those who don't see Jesus in the Hebrew Bible, I say, listen to this passage from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 6 and 7. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth."
I liked your program, Robert, especially the interview with the rabbi.
Well, there are more and more Messianic Jews in this country as the truth gets out.
I'm glad you quote lots of scripture.
It's the living word of God, Delilah.
Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
We have 15 grandchildren whose parents love them. We pray that they will grow up to know the Word of God and their Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel.
You can know Him as your Savior too, listening friend. And Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Eternal life begins the moment you turn to the Savior, believing that He died on the cross for your sins. You can do that now by praying with us. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins against You. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Please, save me, Lord. Forgive me and help me change. Thank You for dying in my place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed with us, let us know, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in new life. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3052. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write soon. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.